Exodus chapter number 16. So I've been preaching through the book of Exodus, and I hope you got a notes page today. If you did not get a notes page, please raise your hand and we can have Brother Nick, if you don't mind. Looks like Rebecca up here missed one. Anybody else, if you would like a notes page? Oh, he's going to get it. Sorry about that. All right, so Exodus chapter number 16. If you're not sure where that is in the Bible, you have the very first book is Genesis. And then you come to the second book of the Bible is the book of Exodus. And it's called the Exodus because we have people who are leaving the Exodus, right, out of Egypt. You have the Hebrew people or the Israelites, also known as the Jewish people. They are leaving out of Egypt, the nation of Egypt. So we'll give a moment here while he passes some of those out. We have some. He's back there. You need one, just raise your hand, and he is making his way. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that. That's why we keep him, that's why he's skinny. We keep him in shape, walking around here, passing those out. All right, praise the Lord. All right, so we're in chapter number 16. We're going to start reading in verse 1. I'm going to kind of, I put the whole chapter as like our text. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, though. It's a lot of reading. We're going to reference as we go. But I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 in our opening text. And then I'm going to reference some as we go, okay? Exodus chapter number 16, starting in verse number 1. It says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, Then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here today, Lord. I pray a special blessing upon them as they hear your word preached. I pray that you'll give me the words to speak, Lord, that will touch hearts as only you can, Lord. And I pray that you'll help us just to grow closer to you through this passage of Scripture, Lord. Help us to understand you. Help us to just grow in our relationship with you so that we can please you with our lives, Lord, and we can see more people saved and more people discipled. That's our goal here at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and I pray that you'll help us fulfill that because that's the only way we'll be able to fulfill that, Lord, is with your help. I pray that you'll be with everything that's said and done here today, and we thank you for the singing, Lord, and lifting up your name and praise, and all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to catch you up to speed, if you haven't been here, I know it's kind of repetitive when I do this every week, but I do it quickly here. But of course, the Hebrew, the Jewish people were in slavery in the nation of Egypt. Well, then, of course, what happened is Pharaoh wanted to kill off all the babies, the male babies, and God, of course, saved Moses alive. And then God called Moses to be the deliverer of the Jewish people. And Moses, of course, is like, whoa, God, I can't do this. And God says, don't worry about it. I will be with you. I'll be the one that does it. Amen. It's God that does the working. And then, of course, he said, I'll have your brother Aaron help you. All right. And that's always a good thing, have your brother helping you there. Then we move on and we see in chapter 14, finally, they actually do leave Egypt. And this was after God sent 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt and Pharaoh kept changing his mind. And then finally, he says, okay, you can go. And they leave. But then Pharaoh changes his mind again, and he goes after them. And they were, you know, backed up against the Red Sea. And of course, God, we know, many people who don't even know the Bible are familiar with that passage of Scripture, or at least the story there. And God, of course, parts the Red Sea. The Israelites walk over on dry ground, and the Egyptians go after them, and God brings the waters down and drowns them all. Okay, so that was, God's provision there. And then last week I preached out of chapter 15 about the song of Moses and how when God does something in your life, when God redeems you, you should want to sing about it. Amen? And of course, other lessons we learn there. Well, here in chapter 16, we see Moses is leading them and they're in the wilderness. They're traveling in the wilderness and they're hungry. Okay? Of course, you know, you and I, we get hungry even before traveling in the wilderness. You're probably hungry for lunch right now. I know I am. Is anybody else hungry? All right, I'm ready for lunch. And I'm going to talk a little bit about bread, and I'm going to make you more hungry. The title of my sermon today is Our Daily Bread. I kind of held on to it for a minute there. But it's Our Daily Bread, and it'll make sense as we go. But what ends up happening is they're traveling, and they get hungry, and they murmur, or they complain to Moses and Aaron, we're hungry. And you see, first off, we see God really have patience with the nation of Israel. Praise God, all right? God has patience you and I don't have. Amen? And God has patience on them, and he says, okay, fine. I will send bread from heaven down to you on a daily basis. And of course, they called it manna. Okay, you may have heard manna. And then in our text also, we see quail that was brought at evening. Okay, it was bread for breakfast and meat for dinner. Can I get an amen for that, right? Bread for breakfast and meat for dinner is what God was providing them. And of course, they still were complaining. Right? But that's not the focus of the message today. I want to talk about this manna or this bread. And I have 3 points I want to point out. First of all, we see it's a daily bread. Emphasis on the word daily. Amen? Second of all, I want you to see that they were working for bread. They were working for bread. You're like, what do you mean? It'll make sense as we go. And then thirdly, I want you to see we see the bread of life. The bread of life. Amen? That's going to be interesting as we get there. But first of all, I want you to notice, look at verse 4 for me, please. I want you to see that it is a daily bread. Look at verse 4. It says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will or walk in my way or no, in my law or no. And then now jump down to verse 21 in our text here, verse number 21. It says, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. It says they gathered it every morning. So first of all, under daily bread, letter A, I want you to notice, God gave it to them every day. Every day. And Christian, you and I, we need to understand that the walk, our Christian walk with the Lord should be an everyday walk. You can't live for God on Sunday and be like, nope, I'm good till next Sunday. Well, you can do that, but then you're going to fail utterly all the time, amen? It can't be a daily thing, or it has to be a daily thing. Our daily bread. Did you eat breakfast this morning? I bet you want breakfast tomorrow. I bet you want breakfast on Tuesday, and on Thursday, and on Wednesday, and every day between. You want daily bread. And I believe that God gives us a lot of these physical things in our lives that translates into the spiritual things. Obviously, it was a daily bread. In your notes there, I put Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Praise God for that. If it wasn't for God's mercies every day, you and I would be dead by now. Amen? God would have done killed us. Like, man, you're complaining again? Let me just, yeah. But God's mercies are new every morning. Praise the Lord. Some of us need more than others, but we all need them. Of course, we know the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, where he says, give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily bread that we need. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus speaking says this, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now listen, bread here is it was literal bread that they were eating. Okay, bread from heaven. The Bible calls manna angel's food in the book of Psalms, and it calls it bread from heaven. Many times when the Bible references manna, it says bread from heaven. So clearly we're talking about literal bread here, okay? But at the same time, it's a metaphor, okay, for our spiritual walk and the fact that you and I need to have a daily bread every day. Every day. You can't read the Bible. Hey, Bruce, did you read the Bible today? Well, I read it on 2.5 weeks ago. I'm good. No, you got to read it today. You got to read it tomorrow. You read it Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. It needs to be a daily thing. It is a daily walk. you know what, I'm gonna be busy for the next month, so let me just read a bunch of chapters today, and then I'll be good for the next month. That's not how it works. Same thing with working out, physically working out. You can't work out until you're dead today, like, you know, work yourself to the bone, and then be like, nah, I'm good for 6 months. No, you will get fat. You're going to get out of shape. It has to be a daily or at least a common occurrence. How about your prayer life, Christian? How about your prayer life? Is that a daily thing? It needs to be. I don't know about you, but maybe you're a better person than me, but I need a daily prayer life. Amen? Now, I'm not perfect at it. Okay, I'd be the first to say, you know, I'm your pastor here. I am not perfect at it. I work at it. It's a thing that I need to work at every day. Amen? But I'd imagine you need to as well. But if you're a Christian today, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're like, you know what, I'm good. I talked to a guy 2.5 weeks ago, I think I'm good. God says, no, I'm waiting to hear from you. Try talking to your wife only once every 2.5 weeks. See how that goes. Right? Amen. It's not going to be a good relationship. Or talk to your kids just once every 2.5 weeks. That makes you a deadbeat dad or mom. Amen. Don't throw anything at me. I'm just saying. You should be talking to your kids on a regular basis. Unless they're grown and gone. I understand. Talking about they're living at home with you. But as a Christian, you should be talking with God in prayer and consuming the words of God on an everyday basis. Secondly, in our notes there, it says, you can't store up things. You can't store up things. That's letter B in your notes there. You can't store it up. What do I mean by that? Well, go to verse number 20, please. Go to verse number 20. So Moses says, do it every day, and don't store up any for the next day, except for the Sabbath, which is a different thing. But let's say it was a Monday. He said, go out Monday, get your bread. And then and don't get more than what you need for Monday. And then on Tuesday, go out and get your bread, or your manna, right? And then on Wednesday, do it. He says, don't store it up, because here's what happens. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. What that's saying is they gathered it up. They were worried about the next day. They were like, well, what about tomorrow? What if God doesn't provide for us tomorrow? I need to get as much as I can today because God may not come through for us tomorrow. God says, no, don't do that. And when they did, the bread spoiled and it stank and there was problems with it. God says, don't do that. You need a daily walk with me. You can't store it up as I kind of alluded to, you can't store up your spiritual walk by being extra spiritual today and think that makes you good till next Sunday. It's not like filling up your gas tank and then you're good and you don't need any more. No, you need to fill up a little bit every day. A little bit every day. That's why we have church on Wednesday nights. That's why you have the Bible that you can do on your own. Amen? You need to have an every day. Now, I also want you to look at verse 27 too. I think this is funny. Verse number 27. And so let me explain what's going on here. God says, I won't, because of course in the Old Testament they observed the Sabbath. God says, don't go and gather bread on the Sabbath. And so on the day before the Sabbath, that's the only day I want you to gather up 2 days' worth. And then on the Sabbath, I don't want you to do any work. God commanded that. Well, of course, people were dumb and they had to learn by making their own mistakes. Amen. Look at verse number 27. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day, or the Sabbath, for to gather. And they found none. Now look at verse 28. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? You see, Christian, here's what I want you to learn. Some people just don't learn with people teaching them. Do you want to, like, I don't understand it. Like, listen, if you do this, bad things will happen. Oh, I'm going to do it anyways. What is wrong with you? Don't you want to learn from other people's mistakes so you don't have to go through the headache and the heartache of it? God says, I gave you instructions to learn from so you can save yourself from these heartaches. Listen, if you are a Christian and you live for God, there's going to be enough heartaches and trials in your life without making it harder on yourself. Amen? There's going to be enough things. But how many of us Christians, we do dumb things and make it harder on ourselves? And then we blame God for it. God, why'd you do that? And he's like, nah, I didn't do that. You did, right? Hey, I'm preaching to myself here, okay? We stick our foot in our mouths. We make our problems bigger than they are because we cause more issues out of it or make it worse. Christian, God says you can't store it up. It needs to be an everyday walk. And he gives us instructions to follow his instructions. And when we don't, dumb things happen. bad things happen. What's the saying? Play dumb games, win dumb prizes. You ever heard that? Play dumb games, win dumb prizes. Amen. And then thirdly, I want you to notice that not only is it every day, not only can you not store it up, but we see God's glory. This is letter C in your notes. We see God's glory in the everyday things. Amen. Let's take a look. Look at verse number 7, please, in our text here. Verse number 7 says, "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord." Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. He says, "I have heard the," at the end of the verse, he says, "And in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." Here's what I'm getting at, Christian. They just saw God part the Red Sea. They just saw God do the 10 plagues upon Egypt and yet protect them. That's miraculous workings of God. And God says, that showed I was God. Yes, it did. But you know what? This daily provision of bread that I'm going to give you, that's also where I'm going to show my glory. Not in this big old parting of the Red Sea. I already did that. But you guys forget that I'm here. So guess what? I'm going to do an everyday, just provide you bread every day, and that's where I'm going to show my glory. Christian, you understand what I'm getting at? How many times are we guilty of looking for God to do this amazing work in our lives, and yet we miss the day-to-day blessings that God gives us, and he says, that's how I'm showing my glory. Right there. Did you have food this morning? God says, that's my glory. Are your kids healthy today? Praise God. That's my glory. Give God the glory for that, Christian. God says, I will show my glory in these small, everyday little things that I do in your life. Are we too wrapped up in the world to miss them, though? We're like, oh, God, I'm waiting for you to move a mountain for me. God says, yeah, but I gave you a family. Your kids are saved. They're in a good Bible-believing, preaching church. That is my glory right there. Quit looking for that mountain out there to be moved and notice the things in your life that God does give you. Count your many blessings, amen? You see, it's kind of like in a marriage, right? You can do those big, crazy things like, you know, on the birthday or anniversary, like rose petals through the hall, down. I mean, I've never done this. Sorry, CJ. I've never done this, all right? Maybe I should. Hey, our 15-year anniversary is coming up next year, so hey, maybe it'll be there. No, but you know, you can do these big, fancy things like, oh, man, rose petals all down the hall up on the bed. It was so romantic. It's like, well, that's great, but if you're a jerk every other day of the year, that's not a good marriage. You're like, but I did this big old thing for you. Aren't you thankful? And they're like, no. How about you help me take care of the kids? How about you help take care of the house? Listen, wives, why don't you turn to your husbands and say, you have never been more attractive to me than when you're being a good father or being a good husband or helping take care of the house or helping take care of the car or whatever it is, right? In those day-to-day things, you see the love that your husband provides or the love that your wife provides. The day-to-day things where she takes care of the house or I'm at school and I come home and you know, the house is taken care of or the, you know, the laundry's done or the dishes or whatever. I need to take notice of those things and be thankful. That's what makes a good marriage. Not the one time a year that you do this big, amazing thing. I mean, you can do those too. Don't get me wrong. Well, pastor said not to take you out to this nice vacation. He said I didn't have to. Hey, you can do that too. Amen. You can do that as well. But don't make it just about the big, you know, glorifying things. But it's the day-to-day things that truly makes a good marriage. Christian, it's the same thing with our walk with God. You can have these big, amazing moments like, oh, man, somebody died, and God used it to draw me close to him, and man, or I went to church camp over the summer, and God just spoke to my heart so much, he called me to preach. But then you leave, and the next week you forget all about it. God says, no, it's a daily thing. I show my glory in the day-to-day things. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I bring that verse up for this reason. God just doesn't provide in the big, amazing miracles that we're just like telling everybody about. God also provides in our day-to-day needs, and yet we forget to praise God for those. I've been guilty of that. I bet you have too. Unless you're better than me. Maybe you are. I don't know. But I forget to praise God sometimes in those day-to-day blessings where he shows his glory. And that's what we need to praise God for. Talking about our daily bread. You know what? I also think it was funny that God could have easily just dropped the bread in their mouths, right? Hey, just look up. And I, you know, but God didn't. He said, you got to eat it. Amen? He says, you got to eat it. I'm not going to force it in your mouth. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? God says, I give you this daily bread, but if you choose not to eat it, you're going to die. You have to choose to eat it. Christian, God has given you the Word of God. God has provided for you a Bible-believing, preaching church, Sunday school teachers that will teach you, other people in this church that will be a mentor to you. We have a discipleship program. God has provided all these things for you. But are you going to sit by and be like, nope, I don't like that bread? You're a food critic instead of eating the bread, right? You have 10 things wrong. Let me tell you why that bread's bad, or, you know, he yells too much, or, you know, he jokes too much, or whatever, right? You're a food critic instead of eating the bread that God gives you. Well, God says that's on you. You have to eat the bread. Amen? All right, second of all, not only do we see daily bread, but second of all, we see working for bread. Look at verse number 16, please, in our text. It says, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man, which is just a certain amount, okay? According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Now here's what I want you to notice. Letter A, it was the responsibility of every person to gather the bread. Every person. You look around, you say, well, Pastor Kurt, that's your job. No, no, no. That's your job and my job. Well, Pastor Kurt, that's your job to get people into church. Well, yeah, it is, but it's also your job. Amen? Pastor Kurt, it's your job to preach the gospel. Yeah, it is, but the Bible says if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be preaching too, out on the streets, amen? Not like on the corner preaching, but, you know, telling people about the gospel, amen, is what I'm getting at, right? Your job. It's my job, but it's also your job. Amen? Every person, it was every person's job to gather. You know, I cannot have a good relationship with God for Alexa. I cannot have a good relationship with God for CJ, my wife. I can have a good relationship with God for me, but CJ has to have a good relationship with God on her own. Alexa has to have a good relationship with God on her own. I cannot make Alexa saved so she goes to heaven when she dies. That's on her. The Bible's very clear. It is an individual choice. Every person must accept Christ. It is an every person kind of a bread. Amen? Every person has to have the bread on their own. But then I want you to notice, secondly, part B there, as Christians, when I talk about working for bread, let me make it very clear. I'm not talking about working for salvation. You cannot work to get to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ alone, and that's in point C. I'm going to get there in a minute. But I'm talking about working on your daily relationship with God is what I'm talking about. But I also want you to notice in part B, as Christians, we should have a good work ethic. A good work ethic. Like, wow, that's not very spiritual. What are you talking about working for? Well, because listen, as Christians, we have a testimony in this world. People look at us. The Bible says that we're the epistles known and read of all men, right? People look at you to get a picture of Christ. Now listen, let me say this. If you're a bad picture of Christ, I understand none of us are going to be perfect. I get that. We all fall short. And I hope the world around understands that, you know, Jerry gets up here and plays a song, and he plays it beautifully. If I get over here and play a song, I can't do it. So you'd be like, oh, there's something wrong with the piano. No, something wrong with me. Amen? Something wrong. I don't know how to play. Jerry plays it perfect, but I cannot. So if you're looking at other people, because you know how many times you hear, oh, there's nothing but hypocrites in church. There's nothing but hypocrites. Well, yeah, you're a hypocrite too, amen? Because you fall short of God as well. So you're a hypocrite? Come join us, all right? Come join all of us hypocrites, amen? Now listen, don't try and be a hypocrite. But my point is, if you see somebody fall or stumble or do something that's not what God would do, don't blame the piano. Don't blame God. Blame the person playing the piano, me, right? If I falter in my faith, which, you know, pray for me that I don't. But if I do, don't blame God. Blame me. Blame that person. Now, don't be mean to that person, but blame them. Don't blame God. Don't get mad at God and say, I'm done with that church. Did you see what Bruce did last week? He was terrible. Well, blame Bruce. Amen? And we love Bruce back there. We love him, right? But we want to blame Bruce, not God. Okay, I want to make that very clear. But let's talk about a good work ethic. Let's get real practical this morning. Ephesians 4:28, I put in your notes. It says this, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see, the Bible, if you're a Christian, the Bible says we should have a good work ethic. Colossians says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Genesis 2:15 says this, and the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, this is real practical here, okay? But let's talk about working. You say, man, if it weren't for Adam falling, we wouldn't have to work. We'd just be on vacation all the time. Well, this was Genesis chapter 2. I want you to understand something. God, in Genesis chapter 2, that was before the fall of man. That was before the entrance of sin. God says, Adam, here's the Garden of Eden. I want you to dress and keep it. In other words, God designed for man and women to work. Listen, work is not a punishment. It's something that God has designed for each and every one of us to do. You might be like, well, what if I'm a stay-at-home mom? That's work, amen? That is work. You're taking care of your kids, you take care of that. Hey, that is work. I'm not saying you have to be out of the house working. I'm just saying you should be working. You know why so many people don't find fulfillment in life? Well, number one, it's because they're not right with God, okay? But second of all, in my opinion, you know, it's just my opinion, my humble opinion, it's because they don't work. They don't find fulfillment in that. God designed for us to work. Again, I'm not saying you have to have a job outside. I'm saying if you're a stay-at-home, you know, parent, husband, wife, whatever, well, then you take care of that. That is work. You should find fulfillment in keeping those things together. Amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, Solomon says all these things. He says, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. You see, here's my point. He worked, but he didn't find purpose out of it. Well, as a Christian, you should find a purpose for your work. If you're a stay-at-home, you know, parent, your purpose is, I want to provide a good, loving environment for my children and my husband or my wife, whatever. If you're outside of the house working, you should be like, I want to provide for my family so they can have nice things. And maybe because I want to have a little extra so that I can help out people in need. Amen? You'll find fulfillment out of that. You will. Have you ever given to somebody? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. You go out and work. Now listen, there's a balance, obviously. There's people who work so hard, they're not in their kids' lives, and so I get that. That's wrong. I'm talking about working. God is the one who designed work. And those of us, if you're not working, like God says, well, you won't find fulfillment out of that. Okay? And I just want to point that out, was before the fall. All right? By the way, the biblical model is that you provide for your family. And again, we understand there's times, you know, in my life there was time. Well, I'll just tell you real quick. I lost my job right when we were trying to buy a house. You know, God has written a crazy script for our lives. I'll tell you, it's been a crazy script for our lives. But CJ and I, you know, we had a house and we made a lot of money. We sold it, made a lot of money on it. And we were getting ready to buy a new house. And God's like, I'm going to spoil those plans. And then, we put an offer in on it, or we were looking at a new house, took the offer on our old house. And then I lost my job that week. Not because I was fired. Please don't understand. Oh, man, what happened? I wasn't teaching them because I couldn't find a teaching job at that year. And I was working for a college, and they just let go of, because their enrollment was down, and they let go of like 200 workers, okay? And so I'm like, okay, God, what am I going to do here, right? So over the, you know, I had to find something to do to provide for my family, whether that was taking care of the house at that time or whether it was, you know, mowing my neighbor's yard, whatever it was, right, you would do it. And so anyways, the point is, God says he gives us work as something that we find fulfillment in. And as a Christian, we should have a good work ethic. But then I want you to notice before we move on, not only do we have work in the world, but I want you to notice part C here in my notes. Christians should work in the church. In the church. Amen? In the church. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. All right, so you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, in the New Testament there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. And I want to read these verses with you because we're talking about Christians working in the church. The pastor has a job, but so do we all. Amen? That's what I'm getting at. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, look at verse number 12, please. I'm going to read a few verses here. Look at verse 12. It says, for as the body of Christ, is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now jump down to verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Here's what I want you to get, church. It takes more than a pastor to build the church of God. It takes the pastor, it takes Sunday school teachers, it takes nursery workers, it takes junior church workers, it takes people who go out and invite people to come into church, it takes people who are sitting in the pews welcoming the members and the visitors that come in. It takes everybody to build a church that God wants us to have. Amen? And notice it said, working, every person had to get up and work for their bread. Again, not for salvation. I want to make that very clear. We're talking about in your daily walk with God and in the church that God has placed you. He says, you got to get up and do something, man. You got to get up and do something. Again, you're not going to be up here preaching. That's my job. Amen? It's my job. Say amen. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's my job, right? But you have a job to play too. Are you inviting people? Are you out there telling good things about our church? Or are you saying bad things about our church? I hope not. If there's any bad things, please let me know, right? But are you playing your part? Are you playing your part? And then thirdly, I want you to notice, and we'll close with this. We see, not only do we see a daily bread, not only do we see working for bread, but we see the bread of life. Amen. Look at, hold your, one more verse to turn to, please. John chapter number 6, and we'll close there. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of John. We're going to go to John chapter number 6. Brandon was teaching our adult Sunday school class about the I Ams of Christ. And this, of course, was one of them that he covered. But I want you to say, you're like, man, Pastor Kurt, you always take this to Christ. Yes, I do. Amen. Yes, I do. And, you know, and that's letter A. I got ahead of myself there. Letter A in your notes is all of this pointed to Christ as the bread of life. And you say, well, that's really a stretch. Last week, you talked about this tree that made the bitter water sweet and how that pointed to Christ dying on the cross for our sins, and he can make your bitter soul sweet so you can go to heaven. Amen. This is a stretch. How are you getting bread? Looks like Jesus. Because Jesus tells us. He tells us it is. He literally tells us this manna from heaven is pointing to him. Here in John chapter 6, go to verse 29. Go to verse 29. It says this, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now look at verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus is referencing the manna here in Exodus chapter 16. Jesus is referencing this. Let's see what he says. Look at verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now let's stop there. And we could read more here at the end of the chapter, but basically Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and you have to have him for eternal life. Now he's not talking about literally eating of his bread, and I'll give you a quick example. Matthew 5:6, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Listen, righteousness isn't something you can hire. You're not eating righteousness. So he's clearly using it as a metaphor. And here in our chapter, John chapter 6, he's using himself as a metaphor for the bread of life, saying you have to have Christ if you want to have eternal life. And we're going to close our message today on part B, says Christ is the bread that brings eternal life. Eternal life. The only way to everlasting life is to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead, proving that he was God, and confess him as your Savior, and accept the bread of life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word.